From LPM,
Louisville Public Media.
The Grace Hopkins Rummel Children's Fund at the Community Foundation of Louisville. Proud supporters of the Music Box as a part of its mission to advance children's literacy, arts, and health. Details about Grace and her fund on Instagram at Grace Children's Fund.
From Louisville Public Media, this is the Music Box, sponsored by PNC and the Norton Foundation.
Welcome to the Music Box. I'm Kiana.
And I'm Fiona.
In today's episode, we're going behind the music to learn about different careers in musical fields. We'll be talking about music therapists.
Music therapists use music to help their patients with physical, mental, and social needs. Their process of helping their patients can include making, singing, moving to, and/or listening to music.
They use a studied, scientific set of skills to help their patients manage pain, reduce stress, express emotion, make their memory stronger, improve communication, and help their bodies recover.
We talked to a local music therapist, Marissa Thomas, to learn more about the job.
Hey, Marissa, how are you?
Hi, you all. I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
In your own words, how would you describe music therapy?
I would describe music therapy as facilitating change through music. So we use music to try and help somebody accomplish a goal of theirs.
Now we get to hear from a couple of our listeners who had some questions for you.
What did you first want to do in life?
So when I was younger, I actually wanted to be a police officer because I always wanted to help people. So from a very young age, I always wanted to do something that was going to be helpful towards others or just like connecting to others on a deeper level.
Yeah, it's so interesting to see how that changed from then to now and how it's still like help focused.
Did you have a music therapist growing up?
So I didn't have a music therapist growing up, but it turns out that my piano teacher was a music therapist, and I didn't find that out until later in life.
What motivated you to be a music therapist?
And what keeps you motivated?
I think the biggest thing that motivated me was just making connections with others. And being in college when I was a music major, one of my piano teachers had suggested music therapy, and I didn't know what it was. And when I shadowed for it and watched somebody else being a music therapist, I saw that and I was like, that's what I want to do. I want to be able to help people while also being able to play music and just connect with others through music. So that's probably what keeps me the most motivated is just connection.
So we learned that music therapy can help people heal their bodies. We want to know,
how does music help people walk?
So music can help people walk by having a certain rhythm, and people can walk to that rhythm. And this is just one example. Sometimes in hospitals, when they're working on trying to help somebody walk again, the music therapist will play a drum beat. They'll start off slow to get somebody walking with that rhythm. And as time goes on, they'll increase the rhythm and the speed so that someone can start walking to a normal tempo.
That's really cool.
Yeah, so you can have something to focus on besides kind of the pressure of trying to walk and something to keep your mind off of that, but also motivate you to keep going.
Exactly.
Yeah, super cool. Do you make your own songs for your patients?
I do make my own songs for patients. It varies on who I'm working with, but sometimes we'll use percussion instruments like drums or shakers. And then sometimes we'll use the guitar and add in lyrics. It really just depends who we're working with.
Nice.
So can you show us how you would use that in a session?
Yeah. So with this song, this is called Move It, Move It. It was made by a music therapist. Her name's Stephanie. I forgot her last name. But her business is called Music for Kiddos. So she makes all of these kid songs for schools, private practices. Anybody can really use it. This one's focused on following directions, motor skills, and honestly, it just gets kids really excited. It's all about movement, so it's just fun for them. So it goes like this. Let's move it, move it. Let me see you move it, move it. Move it, move it, till I say stop. And then the kids stop and they wait for you to say, oh, what are we gonna move? So maybe it's clapping. Now clap it up, clap it up, clap it up, clap it up, yeah. Come on, let's clap it, clap it. Come on, let's clap it, clap it. So that's an example. And then you can start changing. What movements do you wanna do? Do you wanna jump up and down? Do you wanna spin around? I worked with a group of kids where
a lot of them were so energetic. They were doing all these dance moves. Like, one girl wanted to do the splits. It can get as crazy as you want it to get. And the kids always love it. So it's really sweet.
Nice. Thank you so much for sharing that with us. Yeah.
And that would be kind of like a get-to-know, kind of get-in-the-space activity?
Yeah, so it can target multiple things, especially with kids, too, when they're trying to learn about, like, personal space and things like that. It's been really great with groups. So where are you going to stand? If you're going to spin, how much room do you have to where you're not going to hit somebody else or things like that? Along with following directions and, like, listening to a teacher, you know, and connection, too. The kids, a lot of the time, will pick different dance moves as a group. So someone will be like, ooh, I want to jump up and down. And the other kids are like, ooh, yeah, I want to jump up and down, too. So it's multiple things that it's targeting at once.
Okay, now we have some fun questions for you.
What's your favorite patient story?
So my favorite patient story would be this one client that I had been seeing. He was working on speech, so just being able to talk. And he really liked the song You Are My Sunshine. And what we did was I would sing it for the first few weeks. I would just start singing it for him. And you could tell he was really into it. He would be either clapping his hands or just really engaged, making eye contact. And as time went on, I started asking him to sing with me. So I would leave out some words and see if he could fill them in for me. And at first it started being like one word out of each line. So like, you are my, and then he would say sunshine. And as time went on, I was leaving out more and more words. And he's now gotten to the point where he can sing You're My Sunshine, or at least like the first verse completely on his own. And it was really special because it's a song that he loves. And he used to be able to talk when he was younger and he had a verbal regression. So he hasn't been able to talk for a few years. Like, he can talk, but it's more so individual words versus phrases or sentences. And so he's gotten to the point where he can sing this song again. And it's really sweet and really exciting to see him, all the hard work he's put in just to be able to do that. So it was really special.
Yeah.
That is so special. That is awesome.
That's really sweet. Music is so powerful.
What's your favorite part of being a music therapist?
My favorite part about being a music therapist are the connections that I get to make with people, and not just my clients that I see, but also the families that I see too. It's just really special being able to connect on a way that you don't get to every day, especially my long-term clients that I have, seeing how they've progressed over the years. Because at this point, it's been about 3 years that I've been with some people. And it's so exciting to see where they were when I first started being their music therapist, but also not just where they've come, but how far I've come as well. So it's like we're growing together. It's not just one or the other. It's like we're in this together. So it's exciting to see all of that, how it's blossomed as time's gone on.
Yeah. We have a question from Braylon. Braylon asks,
are there any hardships that you had to face while doing your job?
That's a good question. So there will be some days where I wish I could be doing more. So maybe an intervention or something that I've planned in a music therapy session didn't pan out how I wanted it to. And so sometimes I'll be like, okay, well, what can I do better for next time so that this doesn't happen again? But also reminding myself, give myself a little grace, especially when trying something new. You're not always going to get it the first time. So that's probably the biggest, is just having a plan and it not going according to plan, but just reminding myself that eventually it will. It's just going to take a few times.
Yeah, that's awesome.
We all need to remember that.
Right.
Give all of ourselves some grace.
So now we have some get to know Marissa questions, maybe not necessarily music therapy related, but what are your hobbies outside of music therapy?
So I love hanging with my friends, going to like local music stuff's a lot of fun. I'm also a very avid bowler, so I do love bowling and tournaments, and I do love doing leagues and things like that. Yeah, that's probably the biggest one is bowling.
That's so cool. Yeah. It's such a like cool hobby to have.
And we'll leave you with a really silly question from Story. She wants to know, who's your celebrity crush?
That's also a good question. You know, I have a few. I think my celebrity crush would be Evan Peters from American Horror Story. Ever since I watched the first season, I fell in love with him.
Nice. Thank you so much. Marissa, thank you for joining us on this special episode of Behind the Music.
Thank you all for having me. This was so much fun.
I'm going to let Marissa play us out, but additional lessons and resources can be found at musicboxpod.org. Make sure to stick around after the credits for a musical minute with Colleen Phelps. I'm Kiana.
And I'm Fiona.
And you've unwrapped another wonderful gift from the Music Box.
The Music Box is a production of Louisville Public Media, with the support from PNC, the Northern Foundation, and the sustaining members of Louisville Public Media.
This episode was written by Fiona Polinsky and me, Kiana Dell, with sound design by Alex Biscardi, technical direction by Alex Biscardi, audio editing by Anne Gauthier.
Our executive producer is Daniel Gillum. Special thanks to Colleen Phelps, Kirsten Falsgraf, Laura Ellis, and Gabrielle Jones.
Additional voices include Kaylin Bullard, Story Crawford, Nazari Reed, Braylon Fears, and Marissa Thomas.
You can get additional teaching materials in all of our episodes at musicboxpod.org. You can also find out about how to support the show.
Hi, I'm Colleen, and I'm so glad you're here for a Music Minute. In this episode of The Music Box, you heard about how music can activate different parts of your brain. Sometimes composers help performers think differently with how they write the music down. Instead of notes on a staff, you might just have a picture to look at and turn it into music, like in Snow Forms by R. Murray Schafer. Or in The Sheep of Panurge by Frederick Jevsky, where everyone tries to play the notes, but not in their usual order, and it's supposed to eventually fall apart and make a mess. Or the sheet music might look like a picture, but sound like normal for the audience, like in this heart-shaped piece from the 15th century by Bode Cordier.
Support for LPM Podcasts comes from the Eye Care Institute and Butchertown Clinical Trials, where they strive for diversity, equity, and inclusion within their staff, patients, and clinical trial participants. To learn more, visit butchertown.clinic.